How many know that he'll take the pain away tonight? Can I get a hand in here? How many know that he's... He'll take the pain away. Glory to God. Come on, sing it with us. Let it get in your spirit. Come on, I can't hear you. Come on, sing it with us tonight. He'll take the pain. Oh, yes. Let it be a heavenly choir. Hallelujah. Let it ring from your spirit. Oh, yes.
blessing in the storm. Why don't you give him some praise tonight? Isn't he an awesome God and worthy of all the praise? Now, come on. If you've been through the storm, why don't you turn to somebody and say, I know for myself, I've already been there. There's a story in the Word of God. They're caught in the midst of the storm, and Jesus comes walking on the water. Has anybody ever had him come to you in the middle of a troubled night? Ah, what a mighty God. Praise God. We love and appreciate Brother Danny Hood. So glad to have him in the house tonight. Appreciate the good Word of God that went forth in the house this morning. And look forward to it this evening. As he comes tonight, a good friend in the gospel and doing a great work, the work of an evangelist all over our fellowship. He also is an anointed writer, and he has several of the titles that he's written out in the foyer. And remember his appeal this morning. He's sending books to Iraq, and also he's sending books to West Virginia, or Virginia Tech, rather. And he's trying to send information in places where people are in a position where they will relate very readily to his zone series of books. And we want to be a part of that. So as he comes tonight, extend your hand toward him and pray a prayer, a blessing for his house and his family. Brother Hood, we love you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Why don't we all lift our hands to the Lord again? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the Lord is able. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Is there putting up Exodus 3 and verse 1 on the screen? Exodus 3 and 1. I appreciate Pastor Sutton and his family. One of my favorite places to come. I enjoy being around the Sutton family and everybody involved. We have a good time. I think as one of them said today, we try not to be stuffy. That's a good thing. Balanced people. No, people that know how to be spiritual, but you know, when you've been up in the clouds with the Lord, you also need to learn how to walk among the publicans and sinners and relate. I didn't say you had to jump in the quicksand to save them, because that's what some folks think. But you do need to be able to talk to them, sit down with them. That's what Jesus did. He went and had supper with them. He was salt. He wasn't worried about being influenced by them. And I always enjoy being around Pastor Sutton and his family, and it's just, it's a rich experience to be here and to share in those moments of timing. And you know, I don't believe the schedule is just put together randomly. I believe whenever we come together, your gifting and whatever God has gifted me to do come together in the perfect timing of the Spirit. And I appreciate the role I get to play in one of the greatest revival churches in the South and one of the greatest revival churches in Alabama. And, of course, you know it as the greatest. So some of you are going, what do you mean one of the greatest? I'm talking about the greatest. Amen. And I certainly appreciate anybody who would like to be a part of our Desperation Zone, be a Desperation Zone partner. We are sending the books, as I mentioned this morning, over to Iraq. We've already sent about 600 books. We'll be sending another 500 or 600 in a couple of weeks. They've already requested 2,000, but we're dispersing them over a few weeks at a time. And then we're going to send about 1,000 books to Virginia Tech. That's where we are right now. And every $5 that you would be willing to give toward that would pay for a book and a Bible study in some regards. Now, we're also using the book in a prison ministry. They've used it in prison ministry in Denver, Colorado, along with a Bible study called Escape. In a prison ministry. I was wondering why it took the prison minister a while to get that passed. A formula for escape in a prison. He tried to assure them, metaphorically speaking, it's a spiritual observation. And at 17 baptized just a couple of weeks ago in Jesus' name from that Bible study. So, amen. I appreciate it. If you can't do anything financially, please put us on the prayer list. Pray for every man, every soldier, these men that have been brave enough and courageous enough, sacrificial enough to be where they are right now. Pray that any soldier that gets a book in their hands, that it will not only be an inspiration if they already have the new birth experience, but they'll be passing them out to their friends and those that don't know God like you and I do, that they'll be touched by it. It can create dialogue, get in a Bible study. And then, of course, those that will be getting the books in Virginia, self-explanatory, you know what took place there a couple of weeks ago. We're trying to get them to those that were closely associated to everything that took place, and just pray for that as well. Anybody that would get one of those books would be moved on by the Holy Ghost because they are in a desperation zone. Amen. Praise God. I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing in the church. And I don't just mean here specifically, but in his body worldwide. You're a part of something that is fast approaching that moment when the last person will be saved and it'll all be over. It'll all be over. But it's not over yet. So that's why we keep trying to get folks to come across the bridge of salvation under the kingdom of God. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible said, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Next verse. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Next verse. "And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." Verse 4. "When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses." Everybody say, "Moses." And he said, "Here am I." Next verse. "And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Praise God. Go back to verse number 1. It all started at the backside of the desert. The backside of the desert. I want you to turn to somebody and say, "Thank God for the desert." Now, somebody might have went, "Huh? You mean thank God for health? Thank God for a sun shining day? Thank God for fruitful lands? Thank God for the..." You didn't say thank God for the desert, did you? Yeah, I said turn to your neighbor and say thank God for the desert. Because there are some things you get in the desert you can't get anywhere else. And this is what we're going to talk about tonight. In the name of Jesus, let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time. Praise God, and you may be seated. Now, if you were going to go into a travel agency, get you some brochures on some vacation spots, probably last on your list would be the Sahara Desert. I don't think you want to get you, 32-foot motor home and pile everybody in there and say, "Hey, kids, we're going to go spend a week in the Mojave. What are we going to do?" "I don't know." You can build a lot of sandcastles. No. Man, if you're going to go on vacation, I'd like some brochures to the Mediterranean. Maybe we take a Caribbean cruise. And kids, "Dad, can we go to Disney World?" But the desert is not somewhere you think about going if you want to go on vacation, because it's arid. You're talking about parched ground. The desert's a place to dehydrate and die. It's a place that makes you thirsty. I drank plenty of water before I came in here tonight, but just talking about the desert just kind of almost makes me real, you know, thirsty. But there's something about the desert we often overlook. Think about this. Where do the greatest supplies of oil come from? Where? And we're so quick to say, oh, God, get me out of this desert. I don't want to go through this dry time anymore. I have been dehydrated with disappointment, discouragement, and depression. Get me out of this arid climate. Get me to where the Holy Ghost is pouring down. And the Holy Ghost might be telling you, hey, I put my best oil in the desert. You can find your greatest anointing in the desert. You might get your best dance in the desert. You might get your greatest revelation of God in the desert. So thank God for the desert, because we're about ready to find a breakthrough in the spirit that could only have come by this passage. Somebody might be saying, well, how am I going to get to my promise? How am I going to get to my financial breakthrough? How am I going to get to my physical freedom? How am I going to get to that place where bitterness no longer scourges me every day? How am I going to get to that place where those anger, that past anger in me is finally gone? Maybe God is telling you the passage to your promise is through the desert. Don't take a detour. Don't let the devil tell you that you missed it somewhere. Right here in the desert, we're going to strike oil. We're going to find an anointing in God, a blessing in his purpose. We're going to find counsel that we would never get anywhere else. Now, this is Moses. Moses sees an amazing sight. I mean, it's an inflammable bush. I didn't know they grew these out in the desert. This is amazing. Has somebody learned how to do this? Is some kind of secret? Is there a magician working in town? What's going on? The bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. Where did he see this? The Bible said where? On the backside of the desert. Backside, literally, when you study it, you find out the backside of the desert was really good pasture land. Verdant fields, very green grass, a place he could take his sheep and they could feed on. But it's the backside of the desert. In other words, in order to get there, you got to go through the desert to get to the backside. So I had to go through the dry time to get to my blessing. I had to go through the trial to have a more powerful testimony. I went through the dilemma, but it made me more thankful for the destination that I have. And so this is where he comes. Some historians say he could have traveled 1 to 2 days to get here, because where he lived in Midian, he was used to certain pasture lands, but he had to go through 1 to 2 days of desert to get to the backside of the desert. And it wasn't until he got to the backside of the desert that he got a revelation of the bush. Now, at first, he didn't know what was going on with the bush. He just walked. You may not understand everything that's taking place. God may not have given you the details to your desert. And then you start seeing things take place. You don't know exactly where it's leading, but you're just walking. Right now, you know, the bush is still a bush and the fire is still a fire. And right now, this Egyptian architect turned shepherd is still just a shepherd of Midian. But when he got to the bush and God started speaking to him out of that bush and started telling him how he was calling him to be a deliverer of Israel, he realized, wait a minute, I would never have got this revelation of God if I'd have never come through the desert. Not only that, but he was now at the mountain of God, called Horeb. It was basically a 2-mile block of rock hugged by a spacious plain at the northeast entrance. He's just at a place that is known to be desolate. That was the meaning of Horeb, the place of desolate ground. That's all it means. Yet this place at the mountain of God is where he gets a revelation of God like he's never had.
You may be saying, well, how can I get to a higher place in God? I can't get there unless I go through the desert. The desert route gets me to the higher places. I can't find the mountain of God until I go through the desert. I can't find those higher places in purpose until I've been through the dry places. And so I thank God for the desert, because that's the only way I can find the mountain of God. Oh, come on, somebody that's been through it lately, you ought to be dancing right now. You ought to be on your feet waving your hands toward heaven. You ought to be shouting and saying, I knew it. I knew God had a purpose for the misery I've been through lately. I knew God had a reason for all of the riffraff in my life. I knew God had a purpose for all of the pain I've had to endure, because God is taking me to a mountain. Oh, let's magnify him in Jesus' name. Boy, it makes me want to throw up my hands and say, God, I don't understand everything about every step I'm taking, but just lead me to the mountain. Lead me to the mountain of God. That higher place, that deeper purpose. Let's love him together right now. Ooh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I know I'm going to find it. I know God is going to take me to that place in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your hands to the Lord with me. Brother, tonight, say, well, I'm singing about that blessing in the storm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see like a graph rising up like this, and then it drops off and just kind of goes in a straight line. And I feel the Holy Ghost want me to tell you that supply and demand is going to be increased in Jesus' name. What has dropped off and leveled off, I don't even know what this means, but God will take care of it. It's going to shoot up like this. It's not even going to be a gradual thing. It's going to almost shoot straight up in the name of Jesus. Whatever you're doing, lift your hands to the Lord right now. You're coming to the mountain of God. You've been through the desert, or you may be still in the desert, but you're... Yes, Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody rejoice with me right now. Oh, somebody rejoice. In the name of Jesus, God hasn't forsaken me. I didn't take a wrong turn. I didn't read the compass of the Spirit wrong. And the devil might be saying, then what are you doing in this trial? Why are you facing the same storm? Why are you still in an arid climate where it seems like everybody has turned against you? Because this is the way that God has chosen for me to get to the next mountain and revelation of his purpose for my life. So thank God for the desert. Even the Pharisees said to Jesus one day, said, our fathers did eat bread in the desert. Did you hear what they said? He gave them bread in the desert. You can be seated. That was manna in the wilderness. The desert. The desert. Oh, I have been in places. When I was pastoring in Memphis, I counseled this couple over and over again about their marriage. Gave them books to read, gave them this step and that step, prayed with them, fasted for them. Seemed like nothing worked. And I got sick one day, sick as a dog. Worse than that. I don't think a dog could get that sick. I kept going to the bathroom to puke. But I'm not going to talk about vomit anymore. Really, I won't. I promise. I'm not going to say anything else about regurgitating. I was feverish in the bed, moaning and groaning, trying to get sympathy from my wife. She kept feeding me broth. The broth didn't do nothing. And right in the middle of that, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, call Tim right now. And I picked up my phone, and I called him. And he had a cell phone. This is back when cell phones were bigger than this microphone. You know what I'm talking about. To carry your cell phone around. like a bundle of shingles almost. He picked up on the first ring. Hello? I said, Tim, whatever you're getting ready to do, I'm telling you the Holy Ghost right now, don't do it. He broke down on the phone. He said, Brother Hood, I was getting ready to get in my car and go see a divorce lawyer. And I just accepted a job 2,000 miles away because I wanted to get away from this mess. He was a welder. He was offered good money, but he was leaving. He was gone. Just that simple word in my desert, when I felt sick and didn't feel like God was anywhere, not just in the vicinity, but in the galaxy at that point. I certainly didn't feel any goosebumps. I didn't feel like dancing around the bed. Couldn't even get out of the bed. But in my desert, God gave me some bread for somebody. God gave me a word for somebody. It saved their marriage, and he is now the assistant pastor to his father, who was a pastor there in town, right now doing better than they've ever done and been in the ministry strong over the last 10 years. After all the counseling, fasting and praying sessions, none of that worked. But when God put me in a desert, he gave me some bread for somebody. See, you can't just be selfish about your desert. Why did God put me through this? Would you stop being selfish? Maybe it ain't about you. What did Isaiah say in Isaiah 35? Can you give me Isaiah 35 and about verse number 4? Isaiah 35. Let's see how fast they are. Isaiah 35 and verse number 4. Man, that was good. Next verse. Verse number 5. Next verse. I figure y'all speed readers. There we go. Then shall the lame leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and what? Streams in the desert. This has been a literal fulfillment in the last 70 years since Israel became a nation in 1948. Desert areas that they couldn't grow anything when they started irrigating it. Many times over the last 20 years, Israel has been number one and number two in the world as exporters of roses. That's what the first part of this chapter talks about, that there would be roses blooming in the desert. There'd be streams in the desert. There'd be irrigation where water had never flowed. Did you ever stop to think that your trial, what you're going through, might be a stream in the desert for somebody else? Let me give you the best example I know. Brother Wendell Price, great man, Sunday school teacher out of Brother Craft Church in Jackson. He come down with bone cancer. He loved God. If there was anybody, you say, well, I want to pray for this one to get healed. He deserved to get healed because everybody loved him. For 7 years, he endured this bone cancer. But every time I was there ever preaching, I'd watch this man get up with tears streaming down his cheek, and he'd tell everybody what he had learned about God that day. There are people in that church that were won out of the hospital. There are people in that church that are Sunday school teachers and soul winners, backsliders that had been away from God for years that came back to God because in his desert, he didn't get a miracle. He was one. Now, see, that's the greatest dimension of faith. It's not results-oriented faith when I get my miracle. It's easy to shout when I get my miracle. It's relationship-oriented faith when I don't get my miracle, but I'm still dancing, and I'm still testifying, and I'm still telling the world God is a healer, and the devil's laughing at you going, how can you believe God is a healer when you're still sick? Because I just do. I just believe he's a healer. And so you're going through the struggle of your life right now. Maybe some of you are in the greatest season of the fiercest difficulty that you've ever faced. Maybe you haven't even talked to anybody about it yet. But please don't be selfish with your desert, because somebody in your life needs the stream of your testimony coming out of your desert.
Maybe it's got you to a place, got you to an intersection of somebody's crisis. They have been praying, God, send me somebody. And the only way God could posture you in their life was to allow you to go through this particular desert. And now you're on that route, and you're like Philip in the desert. Why am I here, God? Why did you take me away from Samaria when all those folks were getting baptized? Because I got an Ethiopian eunuch who needs a Bible study. Where's he going to get it? He's going to get it in the desert. Can I tell you where some of your great next harvest is going to come from? Not the most fruitful fields. It's going to come from the desert. Oh, let's lift him up and worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've gone through it lately, you ought to dedicate it to God again. You ought to say, now I understand why we're being preached to tonight about thanksgiving to God, about our desert, because this could be the place where we become the greatest blessing to our generation. Maybe this is the place where the backslid daughter or son comes back to God. Maybe this is the place where that neighbor we've been trying to win finally gets a revelation of where they're supposed to be. Not when I had it all together. Not when I was at my most successful. But when I'm flat on my back and I'm broke and I don't know what else to do. But in my desert, God uses me to give manna to somebody else. Lift your hands and pray in Jesus' name. Oh, talk to him right now. God. Jesus' name. Oh, Holy Ghost revival. Speak to us, Holy Ghost, tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Just wait there. Just wait there. Praise God. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and thank him. I really believe there's a deep move of God that he wants us to have in this place tonight. And you have to be willing to go beyond layers of familiarity. You got to be willing to dig deeper in places that you're used to going. Hallelujah. There are services like these. When God wants to put that lingering on his people, that lingering where you sit around, stand around, you wait on the Lord, and he speaks to you, and he takes you deeper and deeper into places of consecration that you've
not necessarily haven't been, but maybe you haven't been there in a while, I want you to just lift your hands all over this congregation and just tell him you want to remain sensitive to him, not just about what this message is dealing with you personally tonight, but about what he wants to accomplish in this service through you tonight. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Sister, I see an opening that hasn't existed, but God's getting ready to make room for it. So creative faith is at work even now in the name of Jesus. It's almost like you're looking at a multiple choice list and all the things that you would really like to do. There's a couple of things on there close to it, but not exactly like it. But the Lord is, I feel like, telling you tonight, I'm going to give it, you're going to get to do it. You're going to get to see it just like you want to, just as the time you've put in, what you have been trained to do. In the name of Jesus, let's worship the Lord, church. Oh, yeah, just keep walking. Stay obedient. Stay obedient to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you believe the Lord's talking to you tonight, I want you to take 3 steps forward and dance to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name, it's the exercising of our faith. Come on, let's rejoice with them that rejoice. You can receive that tonight. You can say, my God's going to make a way for me where there was no way. Yes, Holy Ghost. Praise God. Listen, and I know you can be seated. Anytime prophetic things start happening, especially if you've received a word and maybe 3 of the 4 words have come to pass, but our human nature, we'll focus on the one thing that ain't happened yet, and we'll start getting skeptical. Or people that have had words of God spoken to them, it's like they go into immediate conflict. All the storms, supercell, thunderstorms that start building up against them. You got to be careful tonight in not using your timing to predict God's purpose. Amen. I've just written my 3rd book in the series, and I ended up titling it something totally different than what the publishers want, because the Holy Ghost spoke to me while I was preaching in San Diego in January. And while I was preaching, I was in San Diego. I hadn't changed my watch yet, and it was an early morning service, one of those that were at 8:30. And I looked at my watch just after I had been given the microphone. And my watch said 10 o'clock, and I thought, there ain't no way I've already been preaching an hour. Boy, that was fast. And then it dawned on me, I hadn't changed my watch from mountain time to Pacific time. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what's wrong with a lot of my people. They're living in the wrong time zone. For instance, if you lived on the East Coast and had flown to California for some important business, and you got there and it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you needed to go somewhere to pick up an important document, you looked at your watch and it says 6 o'clock, and the place closed at 5, you'd go, oh, man, I missed it. I guess I'm not going to be able to get it. And then you'd realize, wait a minute, no, I hadn't changed my watch yet. It's not 6 o'clock, it's 3 o'clock. I can go by the hotel. I can stop by Starbucks and get me a grande almond latte or something. See, many of us get to thinking God's miracle shop is closed because we're living in the wrong time zone. And God's trying to tell you, stop looking at your watch. You need to set your watch according to the watchman on the wall, the one that's preaching faith. The one that's telling you to keep going when you don't feel like going. To keep loving God when you feel like everything's against you. To keep being faithful to the house of God regardless of what breaks down in your marriage, in your finances, on your job, in your health, in your spirit, in your emotion. I want to get in God's time zone. Because he might be saying, hey, the miracle shop is still open. But you see, you thought because it didn't happen in 3 days and nights that it wasn't going to come to pass. I told a man in Jackson a few weeks ago, I said, it's going to be like the 12 spies that went over to view the promised land. They did a reconnaissance tour. It came back. I said, there's going to be 10 negative reports and 2 positive. I don't know what that means, but the Lord will reveal it to you. He was a funeral director.
So he came to me after service. He said, Brother Hood, do you have any idea what it means? And I said, no, I'm not going to speculate. But I said, I promise you this, when it comes to pass, it will have the wow effect on you. So the next week, the funeral director looks more like a successful stockbroker on Wall Street. He's dancing around, you know. And I interviewed him during the service. I said, what did God do for you? He said, my wife and I have been trying to sell a house. And he said, we went back and we started counting the people that had come to our house to look at it. And it was 10, exactly 10. He said, and then this past Tuesday, in the same day, we had two offers. It wasn't 9, it wasn't 11, it wasn't 4. It was 10 negative and 2 positive, just like the Holy Ghost told him. But he didn't know yet how it fit. He didn't try to force fit it into something. It just flowed in to whatever the purpose of it was. I want to encourage you tonight. If the Lord has given you a promise and it hasn't come to pass yet, maybe you're still in the desert passage trying to get to your stream, trying to get to your mountain, trying to get to your manna, trying to get to your miracle moment. Whatever you do, don't stop the journey. Because God doesn't lie. Our words return void, but God's word never returns void. And if you believe that tonight, you ought to shout unto the Lord with a voice of expectancy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you go to Exodus chapter 5? Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the... Next verse. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? Notice I gave Pharaoh the wimpy voice. Okay, just making sure. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Next. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey, and we're going to go on a Caribbean cruise. We're going down to the garden of the Lord. I'm telling you, ain't never seen grape vineyards like this one. Now, here's the buildup. Moses and Aaron, representing the people of God, standing before Pharaoh in his posh surroundings, in his ornate pillars and all of the golden statues around him of different beasts and insect gods and architectural genius all around him, in the symmetry of their buildings, and everything must have been pristine and perfectly clean. And just where is God going to take you, good folk? Well, you see, we're gonna take a 3-day journey into the desert. That's where we're going. Boy, it's exciting. 430 years in slavery, and where do you guys get to go? Boy, they done changed verses on me. No, they didn't. We're going to go into the desert. What are we going to do there? Oh, the fun really starts picking up. We're going to sacrifice unto the Lord, because if we don't do it, pestilence. See, but here's what, if you don't get this, the whole story is not told in the beginning. It's just, this is where it starts. We're going to go 3 days journey into the desert. Why? Because, see, we got to get the people of God to Horeb. We got to get them to Mount Sinai so we can get some law. God's going to give us some commandments and the blueprints to a tabernacle. But we're not going to stay in the desert. We're just going through the desert. But it sounds like this is where it starts and ends. Oh, no, this is just the beginning. Because if you don't go to Sinai and get the law, Jesus can't die on a cross outside of Jerusalem. Before you get the love, you had to get the law. And when God gave us the law, he exposed us. He diagnosed us. But when he gave us the cross, he cured us. And the only way to get the law was to go to the desert. It ain't ever as bad as it sounds. You have to keep listening. You can't just read one chapter in your book. You can't just check out at the first sign of conflict. You gotta keep reading. It may be a mystery novel. Your life may have several points where it's a twist and a turn and whoa, what's gonna happen next? But you gotta keep reading, because before it's all said and done, you will be victorious. You will rise up. You will get to the mountain of God. You will get to a promised land. How many of you ever bought something made in China? Anybody bought anything made in China? Did you go to China to get it? You didn't. Well, how'd you get it? Bought it in a store? Went to some outlet? Listen, just because you're being made in the desert doesn't mean you're supposed to stay in the desert. They make those things in China, but they plan on exporting them. We're going to get them somewhere where folks can buy them. Well, that can be. Did you ever stop to think that God's getting ready to let your gift flow out in areas where it touches others' lives? You're not made for the desert. You might be made in the struggle. You might have some things, you know, chipped off your old block in the desert. You might have some attitudes fixed in the desert. You might have some character shifts in the desert. You might have some revival in the desert. But God doesn't want you to stay in the desert. You're just passing through. You're just going to get something in the desert. You're going to get some oil. You're going to get some manna. You're going to get a mountain experience. You're going to get some law. That's the only way you're going to get it, is you got to go through the desert. Don't be afraid of the desert. Stop getting upset at God about your desert. You got to keep going. Lift your hands and worship the Lord in Jesus' name. I see three things. I don't know if they're like deals, but they're mirages. They're not going to be real. But the fourth one is going to be the thing, the real thing, the oasis. Hear it in the Holy Ghost tonight. The first three things are like a mirage, but you have to go through these to get to the fourth one. It'll be the real thing. You have to be careful, though, because the real thing is going to look like the former three that failed. The komo shande katala mahaye kandorobo hosata yara ika yandolo moho shande. Oh, let's worship the Lord, congregation. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So you're going to take trust. And sometimes you get a word even like this, and several months pass, and you'll forget it. But it'll dawn on you in that right moment. Ah, God already talked to me about this. In the name of Jesus, let's worship the Lord, church. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. How many has already been through the desert? Huh? How many know what I'm... And can testify about what I'm talking about. You just went through something, but now that you look back on it, you can get on your feet tonight and shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph and thanksgiving, because, hey... As I look back on it now, it's like what Dr. Philip Yancey said. Faith is often believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. You just got to get there and then look back and observe where God has brought you. And you go, wow, that's amazing. Because I would have never chosen that route. But now I understand why God did. Not only was it a test of my faith, but look at all this fruit. Look at all these blessings. Look at all of the openings that God has given me. Thank God for the desert. Thank God for the trial. Praise God. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Reach over and take somebody by their hand right now and lift it up to the Lord. Oh, precious Jesus. Mikaye tolomo shande ke yama yanduko. Hise ayakomo. Mako yamala. Tesono kote yana shiada. Lord, whatever you desire. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Walk with me, brother. Come on. In the name of the Lord. Listen to me just for a moment. You ever looked at a map, a river on a map, like the Mississippi River? God drew it probably like you and I wouldn't draw it. If you and I were drawing it, we might just draw a straight line. Let's just get there. But you look at a river on a map, and it just twists and turns and goes over here a while. And sometimes you know it's going to end up in the Gulf of Mexico, but sometimes it looks like it's going in the opposite direction, flowing over here. Well, what's it going northeast for? And then shooting back down to the southwest. And go, what's it doing? See, you just have to stay in the flow. It doesn't make sense every twist and turn in the flow. But if you're in the river of the Holy Ghost, you know eventually I'm going to get to the ocean. I'm going to get to the big thing. I'm going to get to the blessing. I'm going to get to the infinite resources of God. I've just got to trust him. Even in those places where it seems like the river might not even be finger deep, I just got to keep trusting God. Even when it seems like there's droughts coming on my river and it's going to dry up and be just an old cracked riverbed, but I've got to trust God, even if it's just a trickle, because I know God is not going to abandon me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody say, do it, Lord. Yes, Lord. I see a circulation being fixed. I see. I see some things you've planted that haven't grown. Some things have grown quite successfully, but there's some other things that haven't grown. And you're considering giving them up. It's almost like I can see it like you're putting a for sale sign on it. But I just want to tell you, not yet. Not yet. Praise God. There's going to be some people in this church that while economic collapse is happening around you, God is not only going to sustain you, but he's going to raise you up. And while other businesses are plummeting, yours is going to rise. I do not tell you this tonight to preach to you the gospel of prosperity, because I don't necessarily believe in that. Not all the tenets of it,
because it makes us greedy. It becomes all about money. That's not what this is about tonight. There are some people that God has designated in this church with a gifting of making good money. But part of the reason why you haven't made that good money yet, you've made bad decisions. God's going to help you correct your wrong decisions, bad decisions, and you're going to start making some right ones. And as you discipline yourself in making these right decisions, the thing that God has gifted you in this church to do, you're going to be able to do. And you're going to have not only enough to pay off what you need to pay off, God's going to give you an abundance so you can be a blessing to the ministries that are not yet formed in this church. See, that's what it's about. We're blessed to be a blessing. If you feel like God is talking to you about that tonight, I want you to stand up and lift your hands to the Lord where you are. And just whatever it is that you've been going through, maybe your business is real successful right now. Or maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum. Maybe it's just kind of putting along and you're trying to figure out, well, do I need to change? Do I need to go into something else? Let's talk to God about that for a moment. Let's lift our hands and talk to him about that for a moment. Because maybe you're getting ready to exit a desert passage that you don't need to exit yet. Maybe you need to stay there a little while longer. Because maybe you're about to strike oil. Maybe there's some manna coming you weren't expecting. Praise God. We've got to trust the Lord tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, whoever it is that you're speaking to tonight in this administrative way and this financial gifting tonight, let them understand that when this flow comes, in fact, thank you, brother. You feel better? Huh? Praise God. Feel like the Holy Ghost talked to you tonight? Amen. You testify about it later in Jesus' name. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. I feel like boy, this is strange. But it's like right almost right here in this area, I saw two trees, real fruitful. And it's like they had prayed about what I'm talking about right now. But when they got real fruitful, they also got prideful. And it's like I started seeing the leaves fall and the fruit was falling, but it wasn't mature fruit. It was like it was come off the limbs too soon, and it wasn't ripe enough. And so it just rotted in the ground with no purpose. And now I see two stumps where these towering trees were. God has given the opportunity for this before in the name of Jesus. But listen, even after destruction that pride causes, God is the God of restoration. Let me say it to you like this. I was on a golfing trip a few weeks ago with some preachers and my father-in-law, and it's something they do once a year right after Easter, and I've got the privilege to go with them a couple of times. And the guy that kind of put it all together, he rented the van, and he got one of those GPS systems that you just stick on the window. Man, it was great because you could just put in the address, and wherever you were, you could just go, and it talked to you. Turn right in 100 feet. I mean, it had it down to, and some of you probably have that system. But what I liked was we missed our turn a couple of times, and this is what it would say. Recalibrating. At the next whatever street, take a right. In other words, we missed the street, but the GPS system had a way of figuring out how we could still get there. God's grace and purpose and strength in your life. If you've missed a turn and God's given you a chance to be this fruitful bough before, he's the God of restoration that can still get you there if you'll make the right turn. If you'll do what the Holy Ghost has told you to do. And some folks are going, well, I haven't heard from God. Yes, you have. Some of you have heard from God 5 times already through your pastor in his teaching. You haven't even told him. But in what he's been teaching, I don't know what he's been teaching lately, but 5 times some of you, God, in this year has already told you, 5 times given you a witness of what you're supposed to do.
and you're still saying, God, I need you to talk to me. You know what that is? It's not deaf. You're not deaf because you did hear God. It's an unwillingness because we all go through this. If I go in that direction, I know what price I'm going to have to pay. Don't be afraid of it because God will raise up these areas and make them fruitful. And it's not so you can boast about what you've done or made. Because if you give $1 million to this church or $1, if you do it in accordance with God's will and plan, you've both given the same. So you can't boast about what you do for the church because this isn't your church. This belongs to God. Sometimes I get in a service like this and I can hear the whispers of condemnation working in the spirit saying things like, well, I'd give if they'd do this. You better get rid of that attitude because God will take away everything you have in your surplus. You start getting stingy with God. Yes, see. In the name of Jesus. But I feel the spirit of many here tonight saying, Lord, lift your hands to the Lord. Everything I have is yours. It ain't just 10%. It isn't just offerings. It isn't just everything I have, God, is yours. If you feel that way tonight and want to be used, if you want to be a fruitful bough. Now, I'm not just speaking financially, and I know that was a specific word about finances. But if you're saying in this church tonight, God, I want to be a fruitful bough. I want my tree to grow. I want the impossible things in the desert to happen. Sometimes desert sea ground is the best place to grow things. It just needs one thing. It needs irrigation. It needs water. You may not realize how blessed you are where you are because maybe the water's been cut off. Maybe the irrigation process has stopped. But oh, if we can get the flow, if we can get the flow there, what could grow out of this desert? If you want to be used like that, I want you to step out right now and walk down toward the front with your hands raised. And let's go to our next phase of this service. And let's trust the Lord together in what God is speaking. And some of you have heard you've heard from God again tonight. And some of you, the Spirit of the Lord has realigned your attention because you thought you hadn't heard from God. And yet some of you even now, when I began to talk about that a few moments ago, how you've really already heard from the Lord through pastoral teaching and other words that have been given, it started clicking. That's right, because he said this 3 weeks ago, or he said that 5 months ago, and I wasn't paying attention, but oh God, I see it. I see how you're aligning these things. You're bringing these things together. This is not accidental. We don't serve a random God. He has a purpose. And that purpose is not just you or I. It's all of us fitly framed together. We are builded together as inhabitation of the Spirit. Just lift our hands to the Lord and begin to pray all over this house in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm waiting on you tonight. Whoever it is you're dealing with tonight. Some of you that know God has spoken to you in the last few moments, come on. Get to that place of prayer. Talk to him. Go deep in the Spirit tonight. Stay in that place of prayer for a few moments until you feel that Holy Ghost well springing up in you. Until you know that when you walk out of here tonight, it's not just going to be a word that you've received, but it's going to be something you activate. You're going to put it into motion. You're going to continue on whatever desert route or passage you've been in. Because of the streams that are coming and the manna and the mountain of God, the revelations of God to come. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That's it. Don't stop praying. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it, church. Go deep. Don't let go of that. Some of you are getting to a place of prayer right now. The Spirit of God. So you've been high. The Lord now wants you to go deep. Go deep. That's it. Some of you are going to go into that place of intercession and travail for a few moments because God's going to unlock something in your spirit tonight. When you leave here, an impartation of faith into your spirit is going to be increased.
I tell you, don't stop, don't stop.